We were in the middle of this wonderful sugya about mukta, and today we're finally at the actual mishnah that focuses specifically on the concepts of mukta that we've been talking about, and we'll go over them again briefly. It's extremely important to note, in order to be able to understand bichlal, the entire sugya of the difference between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, when we talk about Rabbi Shimon not holding of mukta and Rabbi Yehuda yes holding of mukta, we don't mean that. And what we do mean is this. There is one concept of mukta. Everybody is mited to the concept of mukta. Mukta means set aside. In the Losh of the Gemara, hoel di itkatsoi midate. Since something has been set aside from your das, therefore you are not able to deal with it on Shabbos because it's something that is the ultimate eino min hamuchan. And that is the beautiful connection of the idea of mukta to all of the concepts that we've been talking about from the very first time that we met Shabbos in the Torah, which was even before we spoke about Shabbos on Har Sinai. We knew that there was something about hachona, and there's a way in which we need to prepare things before Shabbos. So this is all the way from Baisa Bereishis, essentially. The bracha on Shabbos is the fact that the man falls like a mishnah, and that Shabbos is muchan from before. And because of that, we spoke about all of these ideas of getting things ready for Shabbos. And that's how the entire thing started. And remember that it was in the context of those things that we learned about hotza'ah, that you're not supposed to go out to collect the man. And in the context of hotza'ah, we learned about the extension of hotza'ah into mukta, the way the Rambam introduces the whole concept of mukta, that it's an extension of hotza'ah, which means that we go back full circle to hachana, because the idea of mukta is that it's eino min hamuchan. Why is it eino min hamuchan? Because it's katsoi midate, and muchan is the exact opposite. Muchan means it's there, it's prepared, it's something that you look to use. Therefore, the idea of mukta is embedded in the nature of Shabbos. I'm telling you amazing things. I hope that you appreciate them. And that this interrelates the concept of mukta with the fundamental appearance of Shabbos in the Torah, with the entire concept of hachana, and with hotzah all together, even though on the surface, those things did not seem to be related at all. So you can see exactly where the Masechet is going and how it opens your eyes to understanding Shabbos in a completely different way. There is no machlokas. Nobody disagrees that hachana is fundamental to Shabbos, and that in the event that something was eino min hamuchan, it definitely is mukta. There's no question between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda as to that point. What then is the machlokas when we say Rabbi Shimon doesn't hold of mukta? What we mean is that Rabbi Shimon does not hold of the extensions to eino min hamuchan. In other words, how much does something have to be out of mind, out of use? That's the question. So if someone intentionally sets something aside and he does not want it to be used on Shabbos, that is the most powerful mukta imaginable. The example of this is the mukta that is the only case, as Tosus explains, that Rabbi Shimon would be made that you cannot even move it letzorach makoma, much less letzorach, you can't move letzorach guf or letzorach makoma, not at all, which is usually not in Rabbi Shimon's repertoire, bichlal. He never heard of this thing of not moving something at all, except for one case. And that is called, please write this down, mukta machmat chisaron kis. It's a long kind of mukta, but what it means is that you care about the object so much that you block it away in a safe, or you put it in a safe place so that it should not be handled. Anything like that, that you set aside and don't, let's say, a shechita knife, you're very careful not to use for anything else because you may be pagan. Or let's say a musical instrument that you don't want anybody touching. And you would put these things away, and since you're not going to be able to use it on Shabbos, that is iskatsoi because it's totally set aside. That, of course, Rabbi Shimon is mitzvah to. There's no question of that. But there are other things where Chazal extended the iskatzoi midaite to be an automatic iskatzoi midaite. The automatic iskatzoi midaite, Rabbi Shimon does not hold up. Either you were iskatzoi or you were not iskatzoi. But the very fact that something cannot be used for some reason, let's say you've got a lighted candle, so you can't move it. Let's say for a moment, maybe you can't move it because maybe you'll put it out. So you'll say, okay, so in that case, it's out of sight, out of mind. No, not true. I didn't set it aside forever. I set it aside while it's burning. I mean, that's all. So that's the question of I'll be over in Isser. Obviously, I don't want to be over in Isser. What does that have to do with these katsoi? So there's no automatic muktzah is what we mean when we say that Rabbi Shimon doesn't hold of muktzah. But he certainly holds of the concept of iskatzoi. With that understanding, it is easy to make sense of the coming daf. So let us begin with the Mishnah. Mitaltelin ner chadash avlo yashan. Rabbi Shimon Omer, kol ha-neirot mitaltelin chutz min ha-ner ha-dolek b'shabbat. You are allowed to move a new lamp, but not an old one, because we're referring to the standard lamp. And a standard lamp was made out of earthenware. When you light a lamp that is made out of earthenware, it becomes very disgusting with oily residue that is blackened by the soot. And because of that, you do not want to handle it unless you really have to. But you're not going to handle this lamp in order to use it to store cookies. That's for darn sure. So because of that, there's nothing that you're going to do with it on Shabbos because of the fact that you don't intend to light a lamp on Shabbos and you can't use it for anything else. So therefore, it's automatically muktzah. That concept of automatically muktzah is entirely Rabbi Yehuda's idea. But since it was not iskatzoi, this is called, remember, muktzah machmat mi'us. You already wrote that down in your list. Muktzah machmat mi'us. So we've been talking about a number of different muktzahs. We had already the concept of nolad, where something didn't exist. We have muktzah machmat mi'us. We have the muktzah machmat chisaron kis that we've discussed. And we had the concept of muktzah machmat mitzvah, when something is set aside for purposes of mitzvah, which is a slightly different idea, as we'll see. So according to the Tanakhama, which has got to be Rabbi Yehuda, who holds as a concept of automatic mitzvah, which includes muktzah machmas mius, you cannot move a lamp, even if that lamp had not been used on Shabbos. It was just used once, sometime during the past year. You don't want to touch it because it's disgusting. Rabbi Shimon says, what's the problem of it's being disgusting? Did you ever say you don't want to use it? No. Things don't automatically become muktzah. That's for darn sure. So remember that we really have three shitas about this. We're going to meet the more machmer shita later on, which holds that everything is muktzah unless you specifically intended, yes, to use it. And according to him, we discussed that before, the machlokas of Rashi and Tosafot, about how far we go with that, but that would be the opposite extreme. So essentially, we've got three ideas. We're going to be focusing on the first two, meanwhile. So Rabbi Shimon says, what's the problem? The only thing that you can't be moved, it moving on Shabbos, is where there's actually a fire burning on that lamp right now. And therefore, a ner adolek b'Shabbat, since, now Rashi brings over here the pshat, since if you move it, you may put it out. So while it's lit, you cannot move it. In the end, the Gemara doesn't agree to that, because it says, even if you would put it out, according to Rabbi Shimon, it's a dover she'eno mitkaven. And we're going to see that this, therefore, actually introduces another concept in Rabbi Shimon, which the Gemara is going to explain without even getting to the point that it must lie as the underlying concept of Rabbi Shimon's agreement in the Mishnah. And that is called Basis Ledavar Ha'asur. And interestingly enough, something which is a base, you already wrote this down in your list, something which is a base can end up being more chamur than what it is a base to. Because the thing that it's a base to may be an automatic muktzah. But the fact that you made it a base would make it more chamur than the thing that it's a base to, because then you were iskatsoi, you see? And therefore, we should not be surprised by the fact that a basis for the Dovara Aser could be more chomer than the automatic iser of the Dovara Aser itself. It follows automatically once you recognize the underlying concepts. Tana Rabbana, mitaltalin ner chadash avalo yashan, divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Okay, that's fine. That's our Tanakama. Now, Rabbi Meir has an interesting halacha. Rabbi Meir says, you can actually move everything. It sounds like he agrees with Rabbi Shimon, but he doesn't. Because he continues to say, you cannot move a lamp that had been lit this Shabbos, even though it's currently not burning. Whoa, 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 whoa. Why is that? Well, that was a concept that we had yesterday. Hoel di itkatsoi leben hashmashot, migu di itkatsoi leben hashmashot, itkatsoi lekol ayom kule. But that concept of automatically asring something for a whole day is obviously not something that Rabbi Shimon would agree to, because automatic never makes sense according to Rabbi Shimon. There's no automatic muksa. So apparently, Rabbi Meir does not fully agree with Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Meir agrees to the idea that there's no such thing as muksa machabas mi'us, but Rabbi Meir also holds that if something is aser, it's considered to be muktzah. Now, the oil in this lamp, would we agree that it would be aser to use it on Shabbat? Yes. If you take out any oil from that lamp, you're going to be over on the iser of mechabeh, correct? Once you're not allowed to do something, it is automatically muktzah, even according to Rabbi Meir. And therefore, you cannot use this lamp all Shabbos long, because Rabbi Meir holds a muktzah machmas iser. So now we've got muktzah machmas iser, muktzah machmas mitzvah, muktzah machmas mius, muktzah machmas chisor and kis, basis ledavar ha'oser, and hoil the iskatsoi, all terminology that should be second nature to me now, like breathing out and breathing in. Anyway, so in that case, Rabbi Meir would agree only that something being disgusting is insufficiently a turnoff to be considered an automatic iskatsoi midaita. However, Rabbi Meir does not agree that there is no such concept as automatic iskatsoi. So he's partially like Rabbi Yehuda, partially like Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon himself says, the only thing that you can't move is a candle that is currently burning. And the reason, again, Rashi brings, the reason you can't move it is because it might go out. Now, that's not true, because might go out is not a psik resha, and this is Rabbi Shimon, and he also that might go out is mutter, because it's a dover shena mitkaven. The Gemara is going to clarify what then is the reason that Rabbi Shimon says you can't move a burning candle. So we're going to talk about that. But once that candle goes out, even if it was burning the entire ben hashmashot, makes no difference. If it's kafta, mutar letaltala, there's only one case where you would not be able to move something the entire Shabbat, even though it is not currently burning. And what would that be? That would be when you fill a large container, such as a cup or a bowl or an ashashit. Rashi says it's a lampa. The ashashit is what we really call a lamp, as opposed to Rabbi Barnea's insistence on calling a ner a lamp. But the idea over here is that those things, if you fill them up with oil, they are, even according to Rabbi Shimon, why did you fill up this enormous thing? Because of the fact that you wanted this thing to be burning all Shabbos. I mean, you're putting in an entire bottle of oil and you're putting in a wick in it. So then that means it's not automatic, man. That is, you set it aside, and you want this to be your Ner Shel Shabbat to burn the entire day. Well, if you set it aside, remember, Rabbi Shimon agrees to the idea of iskatsoi, and then it's not automatic. And therefore, Rabbi Shimon is making his statement right up front. There's no automatic muksa, but there's muksa that you create. And therefore, by filling up that bowl, it is usher. Okay, in that case, we are moda. And once you fill them up and you turn them on, you can't move them, even if the wind came along and blew it out. Rabbi Elazar should say, but Rabbi Shimon Omer, I take it one step further. Here's the case where the rebellious son moves ahead of the father. Rabbi Shimon only asked it while it was actually lit. But Rebbe Elazar, his son, says, wait a minute. Suppose the snare is sputtering out. If it's sputtering out, would there be an isser to remove the oil from it? No. Because the only isser of mechabe, when you take oil out of a lamp that is currently burning, is that, first of all, this is machlokas really Rishonim over, but first of all, lessening the amount of oil reduces for a moment by reducing the level of the oil, reduces the level of the flame for that moment until capillary action drags it back up again. So because of that, you would be mechabe. And furthermore, you are making it overall something that will burn for less time. Therefore, it's awesome. But if it's sputtering out, that's irrelevant. And because of that, why do we need to wait till it actually goes out? You can even be mistafik ben aner hakavev. It's in the process of going out. You could already take the lamp, oil from that lamp. And because of that, any of the oil that dripped out from the sputtering onto the kli that you had underneath it, even though previously the Mishnah said that you're not allowed to use that while it's actually burning, because that you were mikatzeh for the time that it will burn, once it's going out, there's no longer any iser involved. Therefore, he takes his father one step further. As Abaya says, you see, Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Shimon does hold of his father in essence, sovela kavua bechada, but he is arguing in that he takes it further. Sovela kavua bechada, who does not hold of mukta. And again, I'm giving you the real pshat in what it means he doesn't hold of mukta. He doesn't hold of mukta means he doesn't hold of automatic mukta. I'm telling you, gentlemen, I've never seen this pshat anywhere. It is so clear that that's the point. Everybody draws around in circles trying to explain what is the meaning of let's lay mukta. It means exactly what it says. He holds of his katsoi, but he's not hold of the takona of mukta, because the takona of mukta is to say that there is an automatic ipso facto eat katsoi that he doesn't hold of. But he differs in one respect. What is that? Because his father holds of was savar kova in lo kova lo. The only time that we would be matir is after it completely goes out. Whereas he says no. It actually becomes mutter the moment that there's no iser and you're being mistopic from the ner, from the shemen. And therefore, as soon as it's sputtering out, then it's on its way out and there would be no problem. The muktzah is at that point bottled, because in your mind initially, which was the entire idea of the muktzah, it wasn't automatic. It's because you had set it aside for such time as you would not be able to be mistopic from it. Once it's sputtering, you can be mistopic. Now, what about the part where Rabbi Shimon says that if it's a big cup or a bowl or a lamp, then you're not allowed to move it the whole Shabbos, even if it blew out? Why is that any different? Says Ula, well, that doesn't make any sense. That must be going like Rabbi Yehuda. We changed our Mandi Omer in the middle. Rabbi Shimon holds any type of muksa wouldn't be muksa. It doesn't matter how much oil is there. This must be going like Rabbi Shimon. That's insane. How could you say it's going like Rabbi Shimon if it says aval? Aval means the same person is talking. In other words, in the nair, you could use it, aval, but you can't use it. I mean, so obviously that's Rabbi Shimon, because according to Rabbi Yehuda, you couldn't use it in the nair either. So this can't be Rabbi Yehuda. It's silly. Ela amar Masrut, of course it's going like Rabbi Shimon. But the only time that Rabbi Shimon is matir is where your das is not itkatsoi. And where would that be? A ner zuta de daite iluya. Your mind has not set that aside for the entire Shabbat, because it's going to be going out. And therefore, why would it automatically be out of sight, out of mind? Avalhani denefishe, the amount of oil in this container means that when you did that, you actually intended consciously not to use this thing during Shabbos because it was going to be burning the whole Shabbos long. Well, if that's the case, of course Rabbi Shimon agrees, because Rabbi Shimon naturally is made to the concept of itkatsoi. He's just not made to the concept of mukta, which is an extension into an entire area of automatic mukta. Wait a minute. There's a braita that seems to be saying that Marzutra is wrong. It says, Motara Shemen Shebener Vishebe Ka'ara. serve Rabbi Shimon Matir. How do you explain the fact that Rabbi Shimon is Matir over here, even if it's a Nakara? Uh-oh. It looks like actually it was right to say that this was going like Rabbi Yehuda, because over here Rabbi Shimon is Matir, even in a Nakara. But we've already showed that that's crazy. True. Okay, the answer is very clear. Note the context. In the Braita, where it says the Kaara, it mentions, along with the Kaara, a Ner, which is small. Whereas in the Mishnah, it says it together, the Kaara, together with a lamp and with a kos, which is large. So obviously, the context defines what type of Kaara we're talking about. In the Braita, where you mention the Ner, so over there, the context is a small Kaara. Dumya de Ner. In the case of the Ka'ara, that is Dumya de Kos, we're over there, we're saying Rabbi Shimon would say that it indeed is usher for the whole Shabbos. That's because it's Dumya de Kos. And contextually, it is large Ka'ara. Obviously, a Ka'ara could be any size. Okay. All right, so let's go through now the dinim of the differences between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir. So we already saw that Aliba de Rabbi Yehuda, there's a concept of Neri Hashan that is called Muktzah Machmas Mius. Rabbi Meir says, I don't believe in Muktzah Machmas Mius. But I do believe that something could be Usser because of Isser, Muktzah Machmas Isser. So therefore comes along Rabbi Zeret to say like this. Suppose you've got a metal lamp, a pamot, and you use this pamot and you lit with it on Shabbos. So now, a pamot is not muktzah machmas mius because metal doesn't become mous when it's used as a lamp. You simply wipe it off, which you cannot do with earthenware, which is the common lamp, cheres. So, ledivrei hamatir asur. So, according to Rabbi Meir, who said before, an old lamp is not a problem, even though it's disgusting because I don't hold of muktzah machmas mius. Over here, I definitely hold that you can't move it because since it's muktzah machmas iser, and since I hold that there is an automatic muktzah extension, and therefore, once it was burning ben hashmoshes, migodis katsoi ben hashmoshes, it was katsoi lekola yumukula. So because of that, I would say that here it would be Osir. But according to Rabbi Yehuda, who is Osiring the case of Muktzah Machmas Mius, we never saw that Rabbi Yehuda holds that there's a concept called Muktzah Machmas Isir. So maybe if the Pamot is not Mos, then Rabbi Yehuda would be Matir. What? What are you talking about? The name of the Rabbi Yehuda Muktzah Machmas Mius Isla, you're trying to tell me, Rabbi Zera, please, that Rabbi Yehuda doesn't know the Muktzah Machmas Isser. V'yotanya, it says, Beferish, Rabbi Yehuda Omer Kol HaNeirot Shomatechet B'Taltalin. You're allowed to move any type of metal lamp because it's usable for keeping cookies, because it's not Mos, except, of course, if it was lit on that Shabbos, so then it would be Usser. Why is it Usser? It's Usser because it is... No. It's Usser because it's a Ner Shid Liku Bo B'Shabbos, and therefore, if it's Muksa because an Isser is involved, this has nothing to do with Kalisha Malachto L'Isser, please don't confuse things, Marshenda. It's because of the fact that there's an Isser involved in being mistopic from that Shemen. Therefore, I cannot use this Kli at all because it's all part of the Isser on that Shemen. And here it's Rabbi Yehuda and he's saying it beferish. So how could Rabbi Zera possibly claim such a thing? That what, Rabbi Yehuda? The only Olds of Muktzah Machmas Mius, not Muktzah Machmas Isser. That's wrong, says Mar. Okay, yeah, obviously that's wrong. Okay, so Eliyit Marachit. Then we must have misstated it. Here's what Rabbi Zera actually said. Rabbi Zera said that if you start with a pamot, if it had been lit during that Shabbos, then everybody holds its usher. Why? Because even Rabbi Meir, who does not hold a Muktzah Machmas Mius, does hold a Muktzah Machmas Isser. And Rabbi Yehuda holds of all muktzah, and because of that, he agrees that muktzah machmas iser is usher. But if lo idliku alav, if however it was not lit, then everybody would agree that it's mutter because it is neither ma'us nor is it asur. The question of Moshe Andel raised in the chat about whether it's a kli shemalach to li iser, of course, is irrelevant if I want to store cookies in it. So, yes, there's no problem with that, but muktzah, it isn't. An amazing idea. The amazing idea is that if I actually set something aside, note, I didn't do it, I didn't use it, but I set it aside and I said, okay, let's put out all the cash in the house onto this bed for over Shabbos. That bed is usher to be moved the entire Shabbos according to everybody. Because even Rabbi Shimon, as we're going to see, agrees to the fact that something that has no use whatsoever is not in mind. Money, which has no use whatsoever on Shabbos, is out of mind, according to him. In making the bed something that is going to be set aside for a basis, for things that are out of mind, become an extension of out of mind, and may even be more chomer than that which was out of mind anyway, as we're going to see. So as Tarsus points out, according to Rabbi Yehuda, you would not be able to move even Litzarech Mekomo, you wouldn't be able to move the bed. Litzarech Gufo, you wouldn't be able to move the bed. And therefore, we have here this new idea of the basis of Davar Aser, but it is created not with an action, but with a thought. So the idea of Itkatsoi, since it's essentially a matter of awareness, once I've set it out of my awareness by stating that I want it to be a place for money, I can't use it for anything else. Meisvei Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, how could we say that Rav holds that just being miyached it is enough to aser it? Look at our Mishnah. The Mishnah says, you're allowed to move a new ner, but not an old ner. Now, I ask you, please, gentlemen, what is a ner? A ner is a thing that is used for putting in oil and lighting. Now, do I need to define it as such, or when I made it, it is what it is? I mean, so if I even made the ner in the first place for the purpose of using it to hold this iser, then if it's lahachi avida, so then kilo idlik bashari little too late. Nonetheless, is anybody else having trouble besides Brucey here? No? Okay, so could you please let Brucey know that there's no problem with the Zoom meeting. So if even the ner, which was created in the first place to be a basis l'davar ha'aser, as long as you didn't actually light it, it's not a problem. A bed, which was not made in the first place to be a money holder, isn't it a kosher cane that just saying that you're going to use it for that purpose is not enough? You'd have to actually use it for the purpose of iser. You're right, says the Gemara. It can't possibly make any sense to say that simply being miyachid something and not doing anything would be enough to answer it, if even Rabbi Yehuda holds that a ner is not considered to be something that is muktzah on Shabbos. Again, I want to stress the difference between the kli, shemalachto li'isur, and the concept of muktzah machmas isur, or a basis to a muktzah machmas isur. There is really no connection between those ideas, even though they both use the word osir. A kli shemalachto le'isir means that when something is made for a purpose of doing isir, unless you want to use it clearly for another purpose, you can't use it. But if you're going to use it for another purpose, there's no problem. That's a din in the kli. What we're talking about over here is a question of the thing itself being muktzah, not because of the purpose for which it's used, but because of what it is. And over there, you cannot say if something is muktzah, machmas mius, that if I want to use it for something else and I say, well, I don't care if my hands get filthy, I still want to use it to put cookies in, that's mutter. It's not mutter. Because the idea is that the thing itself is iskatsoi midaite. So there would be no real connection between the two concepts of how to define a kli, and that's its usage. Kli is a tool, its usage, and how to define an item, which is not in terms of a kli. Okay, in any event, remember that the essential muktzah that everybody agrees to is something that's bichlal, not a kli. If it's just a rock or it's money, it's not a kli at all. That is definitely muktzah. It's got to start being a kli. When something is mo'us, then we're not talking about it as the kli. We're saying now it becomes the equivalent of being a rock or money, if you're old like Rabbi Yehuda. In any event, let's say, what did Rabbi Yehuda really say? Ela yitmar ach yitmar. Omer Rabbi Yehuda merav mita sheyichada lema'ot. Suppose you actually set it aside in your mind. This is going to be for money. Then, if you put money on it, so then even if the money was put on it before Shabbos, you are not allowed to move it on Shabbos. But if you never actually put money on it, then it's mutter to move it on Shabbos, because just saying something obviously is insufficient. And if you put money on that bed, then it's mukta because of the fact that you set the bed aside for that money. And in that case, since it's set aside, even if you got the money off of the bed, it would remain a bed that was iskatsoi as a basis ledover ha'aser. Doesn't matter what the idea is currently, whether the money is on it or not. But suppose you had not actually set it aside in your mind or verbally for putting it for Mo's. So lo yichada lama'ot, if it wasn't specifically designated. So then if there's actually money on it at this moment, then you cannot move it. But if there's no money on it now, you can move it as long as lo haya aleha bein hashmashot. Because if it would have been a basis to a dover that is aser, that is muktzeh, so then if it was there the entire bein hashmashos, it would remain aser the entire time. Okay, so this is makes much more sense that what Rabbi Yehuda said is what Rabbi Yehuda was consistently saying all along. Wonderful. Omar Ula, Mosiv Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar has a wonderful kasha from our Mishnah in Kalim that we learned, and you will surely remember. Now, the way we explained the Mishnah in Kalim was the way that Tosfos understands it, because Rashi's got a major problem. Remember, we talked about a piece of luggage that has a detachable trolley on it. So it's got this mechanism of the wheels. Rashi learns that we're not talking about a piece of luggage. We're talking about something that people sit in, stand in, actually. But as Tosis points out, once that would be true, then all of the dinim would not be nogea. Because once something is roi for tumas midras, then the dinim of requiring metaltim olivarekan and so on, which applies to kliates, would no longer apply according to Tosfos. And therefore, what we're talking about over here is one of the materials, aids or so on, that are similar to sak, needs to be metaltim olivarekan. And remember, we had a machlokas in the Mishnah in Kalim. Do we include the thickness of the sides when we measure the actual size? Because if it holds arboim sa belach, then it is too big to be metaltim olivarekam, and it will not be makabel tuma. If it will not be makabel tuma, then if you roll this suitcase over something that is metame be'ohel, it is going to intercept the tuma, and it won't let the tuma through, and therefore anything that would be on top of it would be nitzal if there was a mace that had passed over. Now, the question is like this. If it's a detachable trolley, do you count the size of the trolley, the wheels and the wheel mechanism, do you count that together with the size of the actual piece of luggage? That's where the whole thing began. So what the Mishnah says over there is that the mucha nishala, the machine part that contains the wheels and the mechanism that allows it to be attached, bismanchi nishmetet, if it's something that is removable, so then it's not considered to be mechubar as one kli to the luggage. The einim dedetima, and because of that, it does not count towards measuring it. So if together with the trolley, it's now arboim sa, it wouldn't matter because you could detach the trolley and it would still be mitaltel. So it's not counted with it. But by the same token, it will not be matzelet be'ol ha'meis, obviously, because this thing itself is a separate kli, since it's nishmetet, and it is mekabel tumah, and anything that is mekabel tumah cannot be chotzeitz b'fnei ha'tumah, because the tumah goes right through it, since it's mekabel tumah. So it will not help you in an oil. Ve'ein gorerin ota b'shabbat, bizman sheyesh aleha ma'ot. Furthermore, if it has, remember we talked about a case where it's a baby stroller, it's got a little pocket in it, or it's even your little trolley for your suitcase, but it's got a pocket in it for your wallet, your passport, when you're going to passport control. They used to have those things once upon a time. It's hard to remember that once upon a time, human beings entered into these enormous cigar tubes and put a rocket at an end, and they were shot from different places. I mean, it's hard to believe now, but people were insane once upon a time. Not only that, they would actually go from place to place, which is, who could conceive of such a thing nowadays? But anyway, so they used to have these little pockets there to hold these documents they had to show and their money and so on. So it's hard for us to remember things like that from the Middle Ages, but that was the way in which life was. And because of that, it would be a place that would be a basis l'davar ha'aser, because if you put in your wallet in there, so then the trolley would be able to be a basis l'davar ha'aser, and you wouldn't be able to move it around on Shabbos. Ve'in gorerin ota b'shabbat, bizman sheyesh aleha ma'ot. Note, if there was money in the pocket. All of this is just a lead up to this minute. But if there was no money in the pocket, it's clear from there that if there's not currently money in the trolley or in the baby carriage, that there would be no problem, even though there was money there during the entire Ben Hashmashot, it's not a problem. Yes, but that's going out. Leave it to Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon does not hold of this extension of iskatsoi that we call mukta. The Rav, who said that if you have a bed that had been set aside for money, if there was money on it, ben hashmashos, it would usher, he holds of Rabbi Yehuda. And we know that, in fact, Rav holds of Rabbi Yehuda from elsewhere. Hachinami mistavra to Rav Rabbi Yehuda sphir leidama Rav, meinichin nera gabidekel b'shabbat, ve'in meinichin nera gabidekel b'yom tov. Now, it would be very nice to use this beautiful tree right next to where you've got your su'udah out in your garden. So you want to put on your neirot on the tree and light it over there. Now, the problem is that you're not allowed to be mishtamish b'mechuber on Shabbos because we're afraid that you may come to be mishtamish b'ilan. And shimush b'ilan is usher because you may come to actually tear off a branch. However, if it is at a time that you're not going to be able to take down the neiros anyway because they're a mukta, so then it's not a problem because you're not going to climb the tree to take down the thing which is usher. The Yomar Rav Menichin Ner Agabi Deko B'Shabbat. So therefore, on Shabbos, you could put your Nerot Shabbat on the nice little palm tree. But on Yontev, where you're allowed to take down the Neros, you can't put it on the palm tree because you may climb the tree. So Iyamit Bishlam and the Rav Karibuna Sfirale, if you're going to tell me that Rav indeed agrees to the concept of Mukta extended, that it's automatically Mukta, that would explain the difference between Shabbos and Yontev. Because on Shabbos, you're not going to be able to take down that candlestick. If Rav would hold like Rabbi Shimon and that it's mutter to take down the lamp after it goes out, so then what's the difference if it's Shabbos? What's the difference of Yontev? You would still on Shabbos be able to climb the tree, and therefore you should aser putting it in the tree in the first place because maybe you'll end up climbing it, which proves indeed that Rav holds of Rabbi Yehuda, and therefore we have no problem of the Mishnah in Kalim, and that's something that we should be getting back to tomorrow. What do you say? Back to our Mishnayos and Kalim. I mean, once the Gemara has done it for us, you know, nobody can argue. And therefore, we are not having any difficulties with Rav's Psak over here. Okay, amazing, amazing things. Things are getting beautifully clear. I think it's really, it's a pleasure. People run away from these sugyas because they seem so arbitrary and weird and so on and so forth. They are totally natural, wonderful, and sit right there on your heart. What a pleasure.